Continue in our series on the book of Proverbs. This is our summer series. We're going to be spending 7 weeks. We began the series last week really with starting this topic on the theme of how do I find wisdom? Where do I go? Where do I find the path of wisdom? And then through the next 6 weeks, starting today, we're going to be looking at specific topics in the book of Proverbs that the wisdom from God's word has a lot to say about. We're going to look at the topic of wise communication today. I'd invite you just to pause. I was kind of convicted in a moment sitting here singing this song and preparing my heart to come and speak, and the psalm came into my mind, "Let the words of my mouth be pleasing to you, O God," in the meditation of my heart, recognizing that I'm about to share God's word and saying, "God, I need you, and I'm not worthy." Instances came into my mind of times that I may have been harsh with my words to my kids this week. And so this hits near to home. And I believe as we look at God's word, God might want to show all of us, he's showing me an area in our communication that we can grow in his wisdom. So we just pause with me and ask his blessing as we open his word. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your Holy Spirit that is present here this morning, filling the body of Christ, your temple, where God dwells, the people of God. Thank you that as we gather in your name, we recognize that we gather in need of you. We come eager to be filled up by you so that we can then go out after this service today and be the faithful and loving presence of Jesus in our world. Father, it is our prayer today, it's my prayer, that the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart would be pleasing to you. And Father, would you make your word alive to us today? Help us when we see, for some of us, familiar passages, to hear them again, afresh and anew. Father, we know that our words matter. We know that they make a huge impact. We invite you in this time to show us where in our communication perhaps there's areas of growth that are needed. Make us more like Jesus. That's our prayer. We want to be more like him. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We need to be wise in our communication. We need to be wise. Our words can bring life or bring death. I want to share with you a proverb here from the book of Proverbs that is just an incredibly powerful statement that will in a lot of ways shape this message today. So Proverbs 18:21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the question is, how do we use our words? Do we use our words to bring life to ourselves and to others, or do we use our words carelessly? Careless use of our words can be life-changing. I was reading in a very popular magazine, they shared 20 different instances where somebody lost their job because of careless communication. And I want to just share a couple of those, and some of these are shocking, but some of them might hit a little close to home, and they might help us see how easily we can be careless with our words and the impact that can have. Listen to this. This is somebody saying, a former colleague of mine posted about how he was going to use up all his sick leave, then quit. He posted this at 9 a.m. and was told he didn't have a job by 11 a.m. Not a wise use of communication. Listen to this. This is from an employer. "I had to fire someone for this. He was a volunteer firefighter and left for a call, which I allowed. 15 minutes later, someone showed me his five-minute-old post." So again, these are social media blunders here, of him riding quads. If you don't know what a quad is, it's an ATV, a four-wheeler, saying something along the lines of, "Sometimes you just need a break from work." That put him on a final warning. He then left because he said his house was on fire. Then half an hour later, his wife tagged him in a photo of him sitting in a kiddie pool in front of his house. The funny thing is, in both cases, if he had simply asked to leave early, I probably would have said yes. There's another one. "I work in a hospital, and there was a police shooting in my area a couple of years ago. Multiple officers were brought into RER. One officer was dead on arrival. And a number of hospital employees posted condolences on their Facebook pages with the name of the officer before the family was officially informed. 7 or 8 employees were rightfully fired for that one. Careless use of communication. I see some of our medical professionals nodding at that one. Here's another one for those medical people here. A girl I know was a nurse at a hospital and got fired for posting things on Facebook, such as, quote, "So sleepy here in the ICU. Will someone please code and give me something exciting to do? Hashtag, is that bad?" The dumbest part about it was she was tagging the hospital she worked in on her post. She was fired. Here's another one. My mom's ex-boyfriend was a waiter at a very elite restaurant, and normally he got very nice tips. Some guy left him a $5 tip for an over $100 bill, and he got mad, and he posted the customer's information on Facebook. I've seen one of those posts. Maybe you have. They get shared. He got fired the next day. See, our words really matter. Careless use of our words in a moment can have lifelong consequences. So it's all the more important that we recognize the power of our words. I know parents today, and I'm one of them, this is something we're so passionate about with our children, our teens, our young adults, because we know the power of words and the difficulty and the hardship that can come from the use of careless words. Our words are important because they reveal a lot about us. They reveal what is in our heart, and our words, our communication has tremendous impact on our relationship, our relationships, our work, our lives. So how do we use our words, our communication, to give life to us and to others? The key is learning to use our words wisely. So this morning, what I'd like to do is I'd like to share with you some key ideas, some key principles from the book of Proverbs on communication. I sat down this week and I pulled up my Bible and I read through the book of Proverbs and I highlighted every single proverb, every single text that spoke on the issue of communication. And it was quite overwhelming, the amount of proverbs that talk about the use of our words. And so I've kind of organized those this morning into 12 different truths that I think can help us be wise in our communication. So I'm going to reference a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to put them all up there because I thought that might be a little overwhelming because it's a lot of scripture. But if you are interested and would like a list of all the scriptures, just write that on your connection card and I'd be happy to email those or print those and have them available to you. So let's get started. We're going to look at these 12. And don't be afraid. I'm not going to spend 10 minutes on each one. So we're going to move pretty quickly. I know some of you, I might have a little bit of a reputation for every now and then going a little long. But on this one, we're going to move pretty quickly. The first truth here is this. Be truthful. Be truthful in our communication. God detests deception and lying. This is a theme that is resounding in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 6:16 says this, there are 6 things that the Lord hates, 7 that are an abomination to him, haughty eyes, a lying tongue. Right there, we see that. Proverbs 26:18 says, like a madman who throws firebrands, arrows in death, is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, I was only joking. Deception. Is wrong. God detests deception. He longs that we would be truthful and honest. And deception is actually something that not just causes harm to others, but it causes harm ultimately to ourselves when we're dishonest with our words. Proverbs 26:28 says, a lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin. God desires that our speech would be characterized by truth. Proverbs 24 says this, whoever gives an honest answer kisses the lips. Proverbs 12 says this, truthful lips endure forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. So truthfulness is very important in our speech. As followers of Christ, our desire should be to be honest. honest and truthful in everything that we say, to be cautious with giving out praise, flattery, for selfish motives, to be careful to be truthful in everything that we said. Be gentle. Be gentle. Another main idea on this topic of communication is it's not enough just that we're truthful, we have to be gentle. And I think it's easy for us to err here. We either are truthful or we're gentle and not truthful. Or we're truthful and we're just harsh. But Proverbs makes this point over and over again. It's not just saying the right thing, it's how we say it. We are to be gentle and gracious with our words. Proverbs 15:4 says this, "A gentle tongue is a tree of life." Then later on in chapter 16, verse 21, "The wise of heart is called discerning, and sweetness of speech increases persuasiveness. Good sense is a fountain of life to him who has it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise makes his speech judicious and adds persuasiveness to his lips." And listen to this, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." We are to be gracious, gentle with our words. We're to recognize the power that is in a gentle answer that is truthful. Sometimes we think that the powerful communication is when somebody yells or when they scream or when you pound on something and get passionate, but there is power in gentleness of speech. This is a theme that we see over and over in Proverbs. There's another principle. Listen, listen, listen. I mean, it's everywhere in Proverbs, and some of us are really good at this naturally. Others of us have to really work at this. Listen, listen, listen. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." We need to listen. We need to listen in our communication. Proverbs 13:1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke." Listening is vital and important for our communication. Another principle kind of related to this, think before you speak. Think before you speak. This is another one that's just everywhere in the book of Proverbs. "A fool speaks freely, but a wise person speaks deliberately from the knowledge and wisdom of his or her heart." Proverbs 12 says, "A prudent man conceals knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaims folly." We also read in Proverbs that sometimes it's not smart to engage a fool in conversation. Other times it is. We have to have discernment to know the difference. Proverbs 26 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you become like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." We need discernment in our speech. We need to think before we speak. To take time to know, should I respond to this? Should I open my mouth? Should I engage this person in this conversation at this moment? There's a time when it's wise to, and there's a time when it's not. We need to rely upon the Holy Spirit to give us the discernment to know. And I think what's important, if we would think before we speak, God could help us in that. I think another thing we need to pause before we speak is to ask ourselves, is what I'm about to say, is it pure? Is it glorifying to God? Or am I going to say something here that maybe it's off color, and does it bring glory to God? Is it something that I should say? Proverbs 10 talks about this, verse 31. "The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut off. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked is perverse." You see, we need a filter. We need to pause. We need to slow down. And in our effort to listen, we need to think before we open our mouths and speak. I think we see so many examples today of just getting it out there, of just saying what is on our hearts without filtering that through God's word and the Holy Spirit. Another principle, sometimes don't speak. Sometimes don't talk. This is in Proverbs a lot. I'm going to share a couple scriptures with you. But before I do, I want to share a quote. This is from a president of the United States, President Calvin Coolidge. Not very often you hear a quote from him, but this is a good one. Let me share it with you. "I've noticed that nothing I never said ever did me any harm." Now, I know some of our grammar people are getting a little uneasy, but this is a president of the United States. Let me say it again. "I have noticed that nothing I never said ever did me any harm." But think of the ways that when we opened our mouth and we started talking about something without thinking, or maybe something we just shouldn't talk about, think of the harm and the hurt that we've caused. Proverbs talks about this, chapter 13, verses 1 through 3. "Whoever guards his mouth preserves his life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." We need to guard our communication. And I love this proverb. This is Proverbs 17:28. Listen to this. "Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent." So it doesn't hurt sometimes just to don't talk. Sometimes don't speak, especially on issues that we're not aware of. And I've been guilty of this. I've been very guilty of it. Talking about things I really don't know anything about, but you're just talking. Sometimes don't speak. Sometimes it's better to just keep your mouth shut. Another principle from Proverbs here: don't eat crow. Now, this is my my word for this, but it has to do with the issue of bragging, boasting with our speech. Don't eat crow. Listen to this. Proverbs 27 says, "Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips." Give you probably one of the most current illustrations from the sports world that I could share on this. It goes back to a few years back with a very famous athlete who entitled his choice of what team to go to from one to another as "The Decision." You probably know who I'm talking about. Some of you basketball fans do. LeBron James. When he decided to leave Cleveland to go to pursue a championship, he talked about this decision, and it was publicized, and it was on national TV, and at really a celebration, once he decided and made known that he was going to the Miami Heat, they had a celebration party in a famous really moment. He shared with others of these superstar athletes how many championships he was going to win. And some of you might remember he said, "Not one, not two, not three, not four." And I think he went on to six, if I'm not mistaken. And then he got there, and they were this super team, and they lost, I believe, 2 years in a row, if I'm not mistaken with that. And then they went on, and they won two. But they way underperformed the boast. This proverb reminds us that we need to be careful in our speech, not to brag, not to boast, but to be wise with our words. Boasting, praising ourselves, usually does not lead us to a good spot. It often leads us to a place where we are humbled, where we are thought less of. So wise speech, don't eat crow. Another principle: build up, don't tear down. Build up, don't tear down. Do not use your words for gossip or slander. Proverbs 11, verses 9 through 13. "With his mouth, the godless man would destroy his neighbor, but by knowledge, the righteous are delivered. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps things covered." Gossip, slander can cause so much division in our families. It can cause so much division in our church, especially when we kind of masquerade this as, "I want to talk to you about something I'm praying about" at times. And there's sometimes we share information we should not share, but rather we should be content to pray for somebody. Gossip and slander can cause so much harm. Look, Proverbs 20 says this, verse 19. "Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a simple babbler." Now, this is huge here. I was reading this week, and it kind of became clear to me what he was saying. Do not associate with somebody who is quick to slander, quick to gossip. And I think all of us have probably offended on one side of this or the other. We picked up the phone, or we've had somebody pick up the phone, and they've shared, "Hey, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you hear what's going on? I don't know what's going on with their marriage or this or that. We hear that. And sometimes when this person calls us, it makes us feel important. Yeah, they're entrusting something to me. So, this is a good person here. It makes you feel good. But this proverb says, don't associate with that person. I think what's implied here is this. If they're willing to spread gossip and slander about somebody else, they're willing to spread gossip and slander about you. So be cautious. Be cautious when somebody comes. And all of us have the power to say, to stop somebody. Excuse me just for a moment. Maybe I should stop this conversation. That's hard to do, but it is the path of wisdom that we guard, that we're careful with our words, that we do not slander, that we do not gossip, that we use our words to build up, not to tear down. Proverbs 26 says this, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, quarreling ceases. Think of the difference if there's a tense situation, that when people just choose to pray and remain silent. There's a time when it's right to speak again, but there's a time when it is not right to speak. So instead, let's use our words to heal and to build up. Proverbs 12 says this, and I know I'm giving you a lot of scripture this morning, but it's just everywhere, and I really want to get you in touch with how much Proverbs has to say about our communication. Chapter 12, verse 18, there is one whose rash words are like sword thrust, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. The tongue of the wise brings healing. Let's use our words to lift people up, not to tear them down. I'll share a story with you. I don't know if it's true or not, but it's a good story. An elderly man had serious hearing problems for a number of years. His family tried again and again to convince him to get a hearing aid. Finally, he relented. He went to the doctor and was fitted for a set of hearing aids that allowed him to hear nearly 100%. A month later, he went back to the doctor. The doctor said with a smile, "Your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really pleased that you can hear again." Some of you might know where this is going. The old man replied, "Oh, I haven't told my family yet. I just sit around and I listen to their conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. You think of some of the conversations that we may have at times that we never would want somebody else to hear. If we'd stop and we'd ask ourselves, is what I'm saying going to build somebody up, or does this have the potential to tear them down? Wise communication builds up. Foolish communication tears somebody down. Next principle, recognize the moment. Recognize the moment. It's not just what you say, and it's not just how you say it, it's when you say it. There's a proverb that if we are reading through the book of Proverbs, we might just fly right by, but it's very relevant for this issue. I want to share that with you. It's Proverbs 25, verses 18 through 20. I'm going to look just at verse 20. Whoever sings songs to a heavy heart is like one who takes off a garment on a cold day, and like vinegar on soda. Not really sure what that is. It's not a good thing, though. But the right place, and we've been there. I know some of us might have experienced that. I can remember a time where we were going through something incredibly difficult, and somebody came along, and they're like, just cheer up. It'll be okay. God's going to work it out for good, with a smile on their face. I remember behind closed doors, that hurt quite a bit. It wasn't received well. So we need to be mindful of who we're talking to, when we're talking to them. What we say, we have to recognize the moment. Cheerful words to somebody who is going through loss can be actually hurtful when they're intended not to be. So recognize the moment. Listen, pay attention to that. Another principle is this: respond, do not react. Respond, do not react. I started living by this, attempting to faithfully live by this about three years ago. I had been just started here, and I remembered And I began to see how important it was to respond to situations, not react to them. And that phrase has helped me a lot to keep myself, I think, on track and to try to be faithful in this area. It's so easy when things are happening and we're passionate about something or something that happens or is said that bothers us to react to it. And sometimes we feel like our gut and our reaction is right, but I've learned more often than not, it's better that I pause, that I pray, that I slow down. There's a lot of times when we're angry and we're having an argument with somebody, we feel like we need to just get what we're going to say out right now. We feel like we have to fix it now. But so many times, we're better off just to slow down. It can wait. Pause, reflect, pray, and then respond. Don't react with our words. Proverbs 15 says this, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. So easy when somebody's angry at us, we reciprocate that back to them. They use harsh words with us, they're angry, we turn around, we use harsh words right back, and we escalate a situation. Proverbs tells us to respond. Gentle, soft words turn away wrath. Now, is that easy? No, it's not. It's challenging. But I think if we're all honest, we know the wisdom that is here. We're on number 10. We're moving right along. Principle number 10 here. Words reveal the heart. Sometimes. Sometimes. Not always. Proverbs 12, I really couldn't sing a lot of verse, but you see this a lot. It's a good example of that. It says, an evil person speaks out of their heart deceit. So one who is untruthful or lying with their lips, it comes from a heart that isn't honest, a heart that is evil. Whereas an honest person who is righteous speaks truth. Our words come out of our heart. Jesus spoke of this in the New Testament. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So words reveal what's in our heart, usually. So again, if we're having problems with our words, oftentimes we need to look deeper and recognize what may be wrong in our hearts. But this isn't always the case. I want to share a proverb with you. This is Proverbs 26, 24 through 26. Listen to this. Whoever hates disguises himself with his lips and harbors deceit in his heart. Whoever hates disguises himself with his words, harbors deceit in the heart. When he speaks graciously, do not believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred be covered with deception, his wickedness will be exposed. So again, what somebody is saying with their words, especially when they're words we want to hear, are not always revealing what may or may not be in their heart. Isn't that powerful wisdom? That's not from me. That's Proverbs. That's God's word here. Our words reveal the heart normally, but at times, our words don't reveal what's truly in the heart. They cover, they hide that. So we should be wise and discerning in our communication with other people. Number 11, careless venting is not a virtue. Careless venting is not a virtue. I almost use the phrase for this one, I just like to tell it as it is. That's a phrase many of us have heard. That's a virtue now. Let's just tell it as it is. Let me remind you that honesty and truthfulness with graciousness is a virtue. That's a virtue. When we're honest and we're truthful but gracious, but just telling it like it is, just venting whatever is on our heart carelessly is not a virtue. And I think this is important because in the day of social media, you see so much venting. And I think all of us, many of us have been guilty of this where we just vent what is frustrating us. And I think one of the solutions that we need to remember for this is oftentimes if something is really, really bothering us, if it's really making us angry, we need to ask ourselves the question, have we prayed about that? Have we vented that to God? The Psalms are full of examples of the psalmist crying out about the injustices in the world, crying out about situations that troubled his soul deeply. The same way we need to take our frustrations and our anger to God before we vent them elsewhere. And I'm convinced that if we really are prayerful about issues, our perspective might become a little more gracious, might become a little more kind, But on the other side, when we just vent our frustration and we take it that it's a virtue just to say it like it is, even if it knocks somebody in the side of the face or is blunt and it's a little crude, we think our culture sometimes says, you know, that's a virtue. That's telling it like it is. But God in his word reminds us that's not a virtue. Carefulness, slowness to speech, wisdom, truthfulness, honesty, graciousness, discernment, those are virtues. I want to share a couple proverbs here on this. Proverbs 18:6 says this, "A fool's lips walk into a fight, and his mouth invites a beating." A fool is quick to vent anger, quick to speak. Proverbs 29:9-11 says this, "A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds back." A fool gives full vent. Another Proverbs 29:20, "Do you see a man who is hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him." A person who wrote on leadership named Lawrence Peter, he said this, and I quote, "Speak when you're angry, and you will make the best speech you will ever regret." Speak when you are angry, and you will make the best speech that you will ever regret. I think we've been there, haven't we? We've spoken out. But all the more do we need to be careful in today's culture of how divided we become to make sure that we understand that careless venting is not a virtue. Finally, number 12, God's words alone are truthful. Only his words are always truthful. Now, I'm not accusing you and me all of lying here. That's not my intent in that. But we need to understand only one person can say that everything they've ever said and ever will say is 100% truthful, and that is God. Not a single one of us can say that. Not a single one of us can claim that we are 100% truthful, always have been, always will. Only God can. Proverbs 30, verses 5 through 6 makes this point. Verse 5 says this, "Every word of God proves true. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him." Listen to this, verse 6. "Do not add to his words, lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar." Do not add to his words. Every word of God is truthful. One thing that really spoke to me in that, at times, we all are called upon to be a listening ear and to give advice to a friend, a family member, a son, a daughter. It doesn't matter who you are. At some point in life, often, you're put in a place where you are counted upon to give advice. It is really helpful that we remember this principle from Proverbs. God alone is always truthful. And I have the ability, because I'm a human being, I have the ability, if I put my own biases, my own preferences, and my own passions, to lead somebody in a direction that may not be the right direction. So I think this helps us to, when somebody says, "Hey, can I talk to you about something? What do you think I should do about my marriage? What do you think I should do about my job? What do you think I should do about this financial decision?" We need to be careful to remember where truth is found. And we need to base our wisdom and our counsel on the understanding that God's word alone is truthful. Remember in a homiletics class, we got graded on preaching. It's one of the most traumatic things to go through, to preach in front of a room full of several peers who are studying to be pastors. And then it was video recorded, and then we'd sit down. And that's an awkward when you're preaching like 10, 15 other people who are filling out a form grading you while you're preaching. It's rather awkward and it's challenging. Then we watch the video and I have to write a report on myself and how I did, and then I get critiqued by the class. And one of the things I remember one of my homiletics professors saying that has stuck with me, he kind of criticized somebody in the class. It was constructive. And he talked to him about how they were reading scripture in a service and they were preaching the sermon and they said, "You know, there's a lot of scripture here. I'm just going to read this verse. And it's a lot, so I'm going to read it quickly. And so I'm going to condense it and read it quickly." And they kind of flew through a chapter, and then they got on, and the rest of the time they were unpacking what that would mean. I remember the homiletics professor wisely saying this, do not discount the power of the truthfulness of God's word spoken. Do not rush. Do not babble when you read scripture. work on pronunciations, because the only thing you say in a sermon that you can say with 100% authority, thus saith the Lord, is the written word of God. Everything else you say is expounding on that. So when you speak and when you read scripture, read it clearly, because you're speaking the truthful word of God. Whoa. That's usually when you're preparing for a sermon, not what you're necessarily focusing on. You're focusing on the right exegesis and interpretation of that and communication. But we do well to remember where the truthfulness of God's word lies, and it should lie in our conversations to guide us to be wise in everything that we share. I want to invite you this week, maybe to give you a little homework. Whether you do it or not, it's up to you. But I have really enjoyed reading the book of Proverbs. We started doing some of this with our family, too. It's one of those books that if you find a good translation, you can read to your kids. And it's, first of all, when you get questions like, what's wisdom? Okay, hold on a second. Let's talk about that. You get lots of questions, but it's all right here, and it's so practical. And our kids have, you know, we talk about making choices, and it's really, we're finding to be helpful for family devotions. But I want to challenge you this week. Consider taking out the book of Proverbs. 31 chapters. It's lighter reading, in a sense. But if you would just read through the next 7 days, the book of Proverbs, just read through it and look at the topic of communication. And just ask yourself as you read through this, am I being wise with my words? I feel like I just scratched the surface on some of what's here. And I would challenge you, if maybe you've gotten out of the habit of reading, at times we do with busyness and things in life, pause, slow down. And I'd encourage you to read through the book of Proverbs. I want to ask you a couple questions as we close. And these are questions for me. Are all of your words truthful? Do you really know they are? This kind of hit me this week. Do you research things before you share or post them? Or do you participate at times in spreading mistruths? How passionate, how committed are you to be a person whose speech is honest, truthful? What is your motive for what you are about to say? Do you take time to pause, to think before you speak? To ask yourself, is this the right thing to say? Is this the right time? Am I saying this in the right way? Is what I'm about to say pure and good, uplifting? Is it going to build somebody up, or might this tear somebody down? While I ask you that question, let me remind you, Scripture talks about this. Self-deception is a very real thing. Unless I pray and ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light on my words, chances are you and I could walk out of here and say, I'm good. I'm not as bad as that person there or that person there. Take that to God and say, God, I invite you to show me areas perhaps where my speech and my words are not wise and they are not as they should be. And let me warn you, when you ask God to do that for you, he's going to answer. And I believe he'll show you and he'll show me some areas where maybe our words are not as they should be. When he shows that to you, invite him. Invite him to help you change that area. Ask for his help, ask for his strength, and know that he is eager and willing, and he will help you. Remember, our words have the power to bring life or death. Let's ask God for help, that we would use our words to bring life to us and to others. Let's bow and let's pray. Father in heaven, there are so many things that as we open your word and look at this topic of communication, it almost feels like drinking out of a fire hose. There's so much wisdom there, and it's easy for us to hear many times your word, to hear your voice speaking to us through your spirit, than just to go on with our lives. Father, I would pray in this moment that you would just help us to pause. And Lord, if it be your will, would you help us to maybe hear your voice speak to us one thing, one area, one habit, one behavior, that we need to change today. I'm convinced that we all have room for growth in this. You've reminded me of my need for growth in this week, and I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to hear right now in this moment, what is the one area, what is the one thing that is a part of my conversation, communication, my speech that needs to change? Would you speak that to each one of us? Would you clarify that to each one of us through your Holy Spirit? And then would you help us today to recognize that the key to changing, it's not our own power, our own strength. It's your Spirit that works in us both to will and to do. So as we work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, as your word says, you are working in us. So help us to make a commitment with our will to say, this is an area of my speech I'm going to change. Here's a careless area that needs to be brought underneath your authority. By your grace, I'm going to commit with my will, but I know I cannot do this on my own. I know that habits die hard and I fall back into the old way, but I'm trusting your Holy Spirit as I walk with you daily to make me more like Jesus in my words, my conversation, my communication. Father, I pray that you'd protect each one of us from careless use of our words. I think we're all a lot closer than we'd like to think to making a life-altering mistake with our words. In a moment of anger, in a moment of passion, we can cause so much damage to others and to ourselves. Would you protect us? Would you remind us of the need to pray daily? Because if we're relying on our own strength, we can make a grave mistake. But if we walk with you, your Spirit can protect us as you make us like Jesus. So help us to be wise and cautious with what we say. And may everything we do be to the honor and to the glory of Christ our Savior. We're thankful that, as we're honest, that none of us get it right all the time in this, that we don't have to walk around in guilt, that we can trust and depend upon you, Jesus, and you take that guilt away, and you forgive us when we realize we've messed up, when we realize that we've sinned with our words. When we come to you with that, we find your love. We find your forgiveness in Jesus. We find your Spirit picking us up, making all things new again. So for anyone here who might be defeated because they're seeing from your word the harm they've caused, may they hear the voice of hope. That's your voice. The voice that condemns is the enemy. Your Spirit gives love and life and liberty. So may they find that they can start over. You can help. You can heal. Thank you, Jesus, again for your presence here in this service. We continue to worship you, and we pray this in your name.